7 weeks after the capture of Saddam Hussein, the Iraqi resistance continues. The people tracking it include Anthony Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies here in Washington. And Mr. Cordesman, when you hear about these two bombings of Kurdish Party headquarters, what do you think?
Well, there are several things that are very striking. One is that they were very well coordinated. They occurred at virtually the same time. And you're dealing with two different security structures, since each of these parties is a rival of the other and has its own militia and security force. The timing was such that they were able to get senior officials from both groups. It is important particularly because this is the pilgrimage or the Hajj. Any attacks take on an added symbolic value. And the motive, while we have not had any group claim responsibility, is almost certainly, on the one hand, to try to persuade the Kurds that they can't get the level of autonomy they want, and on the other hand, to demonstrate that the United States and the coalition forces are not able to protect them.
What can you learn from the fact that these attackers were suicide bombers, that they'd actually strapped the explosives to their bodies?
Well, there's been a great deal of speculation that suicide bombers are much more likely to be Islamist extremists from the outside of Iraq than be Iraqis. But that's based largely on the fact that there have been suicide bombers in other countries, and Iraqis had not committed suicide bombing before the rise of the insurgency. It simply isn't clear that you can't recruit Iraqis to conduct suicide bombings. And a lot of the claims that these must be foreigners are based really on only one capture of people involved in a previous suicide bombing, or politics in Iraq which make it politically incorrect to state that Iraqis might commit suicide bombings.
In this particular attack, is there reason to question Ansar al-Islam, a group which was active in northern Iraq, which is where this attack took place?
Well, Ansar is, like al-Qaeda, a logical suspect. And certainly it has operated in the area. It's not clear that it still has the cells or capabilities to do this.
Mr. Cordesman, can you give us your best understanding of who is still fighting against the United States in Iraq, how many fighters they might have, and where they might come from?
Unfortunately, when we talk about best understanding, we have to remember that to the extent U.S. intelligence officers have made any statements, those statements begin with the fact they really can't characterize the opposition. What they have said is the number of foreign volunteers is very limited, perhaps several hundred at most, and possibly quite smaller. People have speculated that there are about 5,000 active insurgents in the greater Baghdad area and in the so-called Sunni Triangle, but that number could be anything from 3,000 to 10,000. There seem to be organized cells of former Ba'ath loyalists which handle both the organization and financing of many of these attacks. And there have been claims that a lot of these cells have been broken up and the people involved have been arrested. But a lot of those claims are very speculative. And again, the numbers of cells, the numbers of leaders, are matters of speculation. And so, for that matter, are how many new groups are being formed. And there are at least indications that some of these are Islamic, or that they're Sunni, or they're Iraqi nationalist, and that new threats are emerging to replace the former regime loyalists.
Anthony Cordesman is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies here in Washington. Mr. Cordesman, thanks.
Thank you.